Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. AFR, I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman is away on business, and Wesley Wildman, his older brother, is filling in. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
What did Walker say was your job while he was away?
He said just make sure you get behind the mic on time and that you have your coffee.
You did that, check, and what second,
and that
whatever.
You have your coffee.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Yeah.
So he said, make sure Dad gets the show on time.
And that he has his coffee.
He has his coffee. Those are two very important
That's
things.
That's it.
That's all he said do?
That's it.
Well, he left out a lot of the job description. Because you're supposed to run our Facebook page over there.
That's right. I'm being sarcastic. I'm behind the Facebook page today. We'll be making sure that all the topics that we discussed today are on there for you to go to. And we'll also be streaming live the radio program here, and we've got a good lineup today. We've got Sandy Rios will be on with us, Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl, both from One News Now. You can go to onenewsnow.com.
Okay, hey, that's pretty. He did a pretty good job there.
But
I like that.
You said you're the person behind our Facebook.
Yes, I'm playing Walker today.
Oh, you're playing the Wizard of Oz. If you're the face behind the Facebook page,
and we needed someone under 30 to do this, right? How old are you?
27.
There you go. Bingo.
Good guess.
The Wizard. Okay, so we are live streaming on our Facebook page, the video stream of the show, Facebook Live on Today's Issues, our Facebook page. And we will be posting, Wesley will be posting the articles that we talk about on the show today. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and onenewsnow.com is in with us. Good morning, Fred.
Good to be with you. Hey, listen, I just wanted a gentle correction. You said that Walker was away on business.
Yeah.
In the broadcast world, you say on assignment.
On assignment.
On assignment.
On assignment.
Walker's on assignment.
Yeah.
He is.
It adds mystery to it.
He is in D.C. for a couple of meetings today that AFA is a part of, but
the fact that Fred said on assignment, I knew where Walker was, but immediately I did think, well, this is mysterious.
Right.
Do we really know where he is?
What did I say he was doing? I said he was
away on business.
Away on business.
Yeah. Well, I always tell.
Of course, that can be in the woods hunting.
right.
Away on business. That can be anything, right?
We always make sure that when we travel that we take pictures of where we are so we can say we really were here.
We really
did it.
Fred, President Trump's just one boring dude, man. I thought this would be a lot more exciting, this presidency, a lot more newsworthy than we've experienced so far. We've had 8-9 days of just boredom. Can the sarcasm meter go any higher? I don't think so.
No,
Fred, what's happened the last 24 hours or 48 hours?
Let me draw a picture first.
Okay.
When I was a kid, remember the Ed Sullivan show?
Maybe. Oh, yeah, I remember.
Wesley doesn't, but I do.
Yeah, barely. One of the acts they used to have is the juggling act, you know, the guy,
yes.
guy with the things, juggling, you know, four things.
Spinning plates.
I don't know. This is Donald Trump. He is able to do, it doesn't matter whether he's being dumped on by half the world out there. He's pushing forward with business. This morning, there he was at the White House. Today is pharmaceutical day at the White House. He had the leaders, the CEOs of Merck and Lilly and all the others gathered around a table there. This is what we're going to do. We're meeting. I want you to bring the jobs back to the United States. We're going to get rid of a whole bunch of the regulations. He mentioned it takes $2 billion now in 14 years to get one pill approved by the FDA. He said, we're going to change all that. So there he was. While the rest of the world was still talking about other stuff involving Donald Trump, there he was pushing forward. That's just the way he is. And there's just so much going on in Washington. Wanted to bring you up to date.
So he's meeting with, just to close that out,
yeah.
He's meeting with the big drug companies?
Big drug companies.
And okay, that's – so he's meeting with different kinds of industries and leaders.
Every day.
He remember about before he was president, between the interim between the election and the inauguration, he met with the high tech people in New York. Remember that?
He's met with labor unions.
Yeah. So he's meeting with a lot of groups. So this was the pharmaceutical companies. Basically, what did he tell them? He said, "What now?"
Basically, we're going to help you out. Here's kind of my almost let's make a deal.
Okay.
Where the government is going to reduce all the regulations that your companies face that make it so difficult to get a pill, chemotherapy, whatever, to market.
Okay.
We're going to do that for you, but you guys, if you got jobs offshore, if you got manufacturing plants somewhere in the world, I want you to bring them back home and create jobs here in the United States.
Okay. That was just an admonition. I'm going to make business climate friendly to you, so bring the jobs back.
Bring the jobs back home.
Okay.
That's what he was up to early this morning.
Okay.
Now, while all of this is going on, a couple of other things. We may have forgotten the cabinet appointees, the nominees, what's going on there. Well, this morning, the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee approved Texas Governor Rick Perry as Energy Secretary, Ryan Zink, Montana, to head the Interior. We've got the committee meeting this morning, the Judiciary Committee, on Jeff Sessions, finally, for Attorney General. You know, the Democrats have been trying to stall everything, but probably we're going to get a committee vote even before the show's over today on that front. And then Tom Price, Health Secretary, also probably going to be voted out of committee today, Senate Finance Committee. And so this goes on and on and on. The big fight is likely going to come when it gets to the Senate, and then we're going to find out there what happens.
When what gets to the Senate?
When all of these. They got to come out of committee, and then they got to be voted on in the Senate, these cabinet nominees.
There are going to
be. I have never seen, and I think this was today, where Senate Democrats in the committees, the committee that was the Senate Finance Committee, they actually boycotted the vote to get it out of committee, and that essentially tables the opportunity to vote, I think, on both Price and Stephen Mnuchin. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I've ever seen that, where the Democrats just say, well, we're just not going to show up for the committee vote, so therefore you can't have one. The kind of things that are going on in D.C. Now, the Republicans, to be fair, Republicans had their own little game going in terms of obstructing things. That's part of what you do. But to just deny the opportunities to vote, I'm not quite sure I've ever seen that.
Well, that's the mood, the Democrats under Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi.
That's all they got.
That's all they got.
That's all they got. They're outnumbered in the House and the Senate, and they can't stop. That's why all these nominees of President Trump's to fill his cabinet position.
Now, y'all talking about Schumer, fake tears Schumer?
Yes, Chuck fake tears Schumer.
That's what Trump called him last night.
Yes, he said that's who we're talking about. But he and his cohorts in the Senate trying to slow things up, and they are slowing things up. But Trump's going to get all these nominees through the Senate. I haven't heard any of them that are going to be denied. But they're just... That's all they got, you know. That's all the Democrats got. And now they got the Supreme Court announcement by Donald
That's
Trump.
That's tonight.
Today. 7 tonight. O'clock Central.
Prime time.
Yeah.
So President Trump's going to...
This is important enough. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be watching a hockey game tonight. I'm switching over.
Are you? For the announcement?
For the announcement.
There you go.
What is going on with the Supreme Court? Why would he do it in prime time?
Why would he do it in prime time? Well, remember, we were told last week he was going to do it Thursday morning this week, but he moved it up. Some people say this is to take attention from one of the controversies, that being the immigration slowdown, and that's what it is. We want to clarify this. You're hearing the mainstream media calling Trump's Muslim ban on Muslims. That is nonsense.
Right.
That is nonsense. This is putting into place, it's a four-month recess in allowing people to come in from seven different countries. It is not a Muslim ban because not on the list of seven countries is Pakistan or Indonesia or Jordan.
Or Egypt.
They're not. Those are all Muslim countries, folks.
Right.
Indonesia.
Turkey.
All of those countries, they're not on the list. So when you hear Muslim ban,
that's not true.
Protests and lawyers that are out there.
Hollywood.
Hollywood. It's a lie. It's a bold-faced lie. And they're believing that there are enough people out there that are ignorant of the facts that they're just going to swallow this.
Or the fact that the media, in pressing, in putting forth its own narrative, which is a liberal narrative mm-hmm. on what this is, because it's all, you know, hands on deck in undermining President Trump. They realize that a lot of people, while they may pay attention to what's happening in D.C., are busily going about their own lives. They're going to catch bits and pieces, you know, from, you know, the talk shows, or they're going to catch a headline or two here. And the media knows, they've been playing this game for a long time. You can drive for a while public opinion by one-sided reporting.
Yep, exactly. Well, while this was happening, go back to the announcement over the weekend of this curtailment of immigration for 4 months. To that point, last night, President Trump fired Sally Yates, the acting attorney general and Obama appointee, fired her after she said she would refuse to work on behalf of this immigration curtailment. In other words, uphold the executive order from President Trump. So he fired her, and he's named someone else to fill in until Jeff Sessions, Senator Jeff Sessions, can be voted on in the Senate to become the next attorney general.
Let me get this right. Trump's the boss.
Yes.
And the subordinate is the attorney general. What's her name?
The acting Yates. Attorney general, Sally Yates.
Sally. So Donald is the boss and Sally's his secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald says to Sally, type this letter. And Sally says, I ain't going to do it. So Donald says, you don't have a job here any longer. Get clean out your desk and be on your way.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting is her lack of concern for the American citizens. You know, not to mention what her act was unconstitutional, but to be so uncompassionate about the safety and security of the American people.
Why did she say she wasn't going to obey her boss?
She just doesn't agree with it. She doesn't agree with.
And you know, the media this morning was calling it the Monday Night Massacre, which is a reference back to Nixon. I think when he fired Archibald Cox, who was the special prosecutor that he appointed. Nixon appointed him and then fired him because Cox was doing his job as set forth by Congress. And to put these two in the same category is totally ridiculous. This was an Obama. Yates was an Obama appointee, all right, not a Trump appointee. So an Obama appointee refusing to go along with what a new policy Trump, this is not even comparable to what Nixon did. But again, that is how the media tries to drive the narrative. I mean, it is all-out war against Trump in terms
that's
of
why
the
he
left.
That's why he says they're the most dishonest people. Yep. He can't stand the media, and the media can't stand him. And this is going to be a warfare for the foreseeable future between the Trump administration and the mainstream liberal media. Let me just say this. I use the analogy of Trump being the boss and the AG being what's her name?
Sally Yates.
Sally being the secretary. It's not exactly like that because the Attorney General of the United States, you know, can tell the president no if he or she feels like the president is doing something unconstitutional. That would be their obligation, quite frankly. So it's not exactly like the analogy I used. But but in this case, I don't know. Has anyone questioned the constitutional authority of President Trump to carry out this? What other presidents have done in the past?
There's a senior advisor, Stephen Miller, who mentioned last night I was watching on Fox.
Hey, I enjoyed his band in the 70s, by the way.
I don't know
big
what
old jet
you're talking
about.
Stephen Miller band.
I don't know what you're talking about, nor do I
carry
know if I'm going
to
be able to
home.
Get back on track after
okay,
that.
Go ahead.
Stephen Miller was talking last night, and he mentioned that out of all the advisors and all the legal counsel that wrote up this document, or wrote up the policies for Trump, even the ones that didn't necessarily support Trump nor agree with it, all unanimously agreed that what he was doing was perfectly legal.
It's constitutional.
Constitutional.
Right. That is, you can read the Constitution. There's a place where this talks about this is the this is under the.
In fact, President Barack Obama did the same thing.
2011.
Right. And nobody said boo.
Right. President Obama forbade people from coming to America from Iraq for 6 months. Nobody screamed about Chuck Schumer didn't cry then.
Right.
Also, there was no outcry when President Obama stopped the Cubans. The Cubans who came here on a boat to escape Cuba, they if they were to land in Florida, we used to accept them as political refugees, and Obama stopped that. There was no cry, you're anti-Cuban. So this is selective outrage by the liberal media, and they're intentionally painting this as anti-Muslim. As you, Fred, said, this is not anti-Muslim. This is seven countries that happen to be predominantly anti-Muslim. But you know what? Where are the terrorists coming from? Predominantly Muslim countries. So, you know, this is just...
Well, like Fred said, this is a slowdown. It's not a ban.
Right, it's 4 months.
It's not a ban against all Muslim countries. You know, you referenced the wet foot, dry foot policy.
For Cubans.
Nobody squawked about that when President Obama did it. And, you know, here's the thing about Yates. When she first heard about this, CNN was the one, I think, that first reported it. So somebody on her team made sure the media understood she had any integrity, she should have quietly gone to the president and said, I think it's time for me to step down. I disagree with this policy. But no, she wanted to make a splash, and it was apparently leaked to CNN so that her defiance could be front page news. And so, Ms. Yates, congratulations. You got your 15 minutes of fame.
And what I doubt she'll be hired again for anything. Once you kind of.
She'll get a
she'll
professor.
She'll be hired in Hollywood.
Yeah, she'll be a professor, you know, somewhere.
Okay. She'll get a job at the ACLU.
Yeah. Right, yes.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
There's plenty of groups out there that'll hire this sort.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. That's what you're listening to here on the American Family Radio Network. We thank you, as always, for joining us for this program and for listening to AFR throughout the day. Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Wesley Wildman, and Fred Jackson. Sandy Rios, Director of Governmental Affairs and host of Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio, will join us at the bottom of the hour or after the bottom of the hour. What else you got, Fred?
Just one more thing.
Kind of like my mom.
On this immigration.
When I was 7 years old. Let me tell you one more thing, Timmy. Sit down over there.
Immigration curtailment story. So Trump announces this on late Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
From that point to Monday morning, 300,000 people arrived at our airports across the United States coming in on planes. 300,000 people. Out of those 300,000 people, only 120 were detained.
Right.
And most of them have now gone about their business.
Right.
That's it. Now, that's the story right there. Now, as we've been talking about, the media, the Democrats just going ballistic over this. That is nonsense.
Hollywood's having a meltdown. Absolute meltdown.
Yeah, all living in their gated communities right. with walls and gates and security guards.
And plenty of money.
You can't get anywhere near them. Listen, there's an additional story, Fred, to this one here in terms of the airports where protests spontaneously arose where they shut down baggage claim and stuff like that. You know, a little under the radar kind of thing is, how did all these people know to go to these baggage claims and protest and lock these things down almost immediately? Well,
I have an answer.
Okay, good. Give us the answer.
It's called Rent-A-Crowd.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's Rent-A-Crowd.
And this is driven by social media. Whoever the professional agitators are who plan these things, they tweet or otherwise communicate on social media to these professional agitators who are being paid, many of them. Mm-hmm. But then when they send out, you know, the tweets to others who aren't being paid, they get these huge crowds. It looks like, if you're just rolling a camera from CNN, it looks like, wow, the American people are just so angry at this. They just showed up at the Delta Airlines baggage claim and shut it down. No, this is professional agitation by radicals who my personal belief is they want to completely overthrow the way we've done business here for 225 years. Mm-hmm. And these are socialists who want to make change. President Obama promised change, got a lot of it, but didn't get the whole ball of wax. These people aren't going to rest until there's revolution in the streets.
Yeah, that's where we are.
All right.
In other news, the Boy Scouts are back in the news. We know back over the last couple of years, the Boy Scouts made it official that they would accept homosexuals into Boy Scout troops.
Right. They changed their policy.
And that resulted in many of these groups, former Boy Scouts, going into another group, Trail Life.
Yeah.
Many churches that sponsored Boy Scout groups said, we can't do it anymore.
Right.
And they went off into it. Well, now the latest is that Boy Scouts will now accept, and the only way to put this is put it plainly, that if a little girl says, I feel like a boy, I can join the Boy Scouts now.
And the Boy Scouts will consider
yes.
that girl to be a boy.
Yes.
This is not even just saying, well, we're helping this little girl get through this confusing time.
No.
They're saying the Boy Scouts is still limited to boys, but now we consider a transgender girl to be a boy.
Yep.
So that's this is, by the way, you mentioned
Trail Life. So it's the girly scouts.
They would say, no, it's still the Boy Scouts, Tim. It's still the Boy Scouts.
It's still the Boy Scouts, but you're letting girls in.
No, Tim. We're letting boys, only boys in, but we consider these girls who are transgender to be boys.
So okay, what do they have, male genitalia or female genitalia, Ed? The ones wanting to join now.
Far be it for me to say that word on the air, but no, they have girls' genitalia.
Okay, then they're a girl.
Yeah, I was just explaining.
No, I know. I know, but this is how insane.
Right.
This is how insane this has become. This idea that you can self-identify as a certain sex is insanity. No, I can't self-identify as we've talked about here before as Fred or as a Chinese person.
You could, but you'd get laughed out of an interview, for example.
Okay, if somebody's going to laugh at me for self-identifying as a Chinese person, if I went around saying I'm Chinese, refer to me.
And you're 6'5". I've heard this example used before.
So people would laugh at you. Yeah. They would laugh at you and
yes.
they would say, he's nuts.
Right.
Okay, but I can walk around and say, I'm a woman, even though I'm a male, scientifically, biologically, I'm a male. I can say I'm a female, and people say that's perfectly sane.
Yeah, and you could go to the women's restroom in Target.
Yeah, right.
Because that's
well, that. But why do you think? My question is, why do you think you get a pass on choosing what kind of sex you are, but not kind of what race?
Well, because
you are?
This is all a part of the sexual revolution, and the minute someone says you cannot define your gender. Is the moment we say, well, then you can't define your sexual orientation, you know, and then you have to say, well, what standard are we operating under? And you've got to have some sort of moral standard. And that's anathema. You can't have that. By the way,
the Boy Scouts of America are letting girls in now. That's what you're saying. That's the bottom line, Fred, right?
Yep. Go to the front page, One News Now. Todd Starnes, no surprise, is commenting on this. He says it's time for churches to sever ties with the Boy Scouts.
Trail Life USA is a Christian outdoor adventure character leadership program for boys and young men. TrailLifeUSA.com.
Amen.
We know them.
So if you
want
to leave the girly scouts and you want to...
And you want to still have scouting.
Then go to where?
TrailLifeUSA.com.
And they're growing.
They're growing. They sure are.
Yeah. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
What God's allowed me to do with apologetics and the evidence for the faith, as Exploring the Word listeners probably know, traveling, speaking, equipping the church. It's a busy job.
We'll also hear from Abraham Hamilton III, as well as newsmen Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, do you want to go on a vacation with a purpose? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. A lot of people love to go to the beach. I'm one of them. How about the mountains? Yeah, a lot of folks are raising their hand right now when I say the mountains. Well, this year, why don't you go with us on a spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and have a vacation with an educational and a spiritual purpose? If you'd like to go with us in June or September to D.C. and Mount Vernon, or our separate tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, we'd love to have you join us. Just find out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will join us as our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way on our rich Christian heritage here in the U.S. We hope you can join us, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Girls who identify as boys will now be allowed to join the Boy Scouts. After more than 100 years, the Boy Scouts of America announced they can no longer rely on body parts to distinguish between male and female. The policy change takes effect immediately. Many parents are now wondering if transgender children will share tents and bathrooms and showers with their sons. As I wrote in my new book, The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again, Boy Scouts of America is a lost cause. Sadly, they've sacrificed their last vestige of integrity on the altar of political correctness. And the time has come for parents and churches to abandon this once great organization. Instead, I recommend parents consider Trail Life USA, a distinctly Christian scouting organization. Trail Life teaches young boys to be men of courage and honor, men who will not abandon their values for the sake of political expedience. I'm Todd Stearns.
Ryan Fisher here. President Trump continues to get blistered by the low-information media about his excellent immigration directive, but the president also reissued a President Obama executive order on homosexuality that ought to worry us all. And Trump fires a renegade acting attorney general. It's time for Jeff Sessions to be confirmed. Coming up on Focal Point at 105 Central.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Democrats are boycotting some of the Trump nominee meetings, the hearings. For some of his cabinet appointments.
Yeah, these are the actual committees. They're just boycotting. They're not showing up.
So you just don't show up.
Yeah, you know, this is sometimes you can get, you know, use language that's overly inflammatory or too overheated or something like that. You know, when we talk about the country coming to a halt, maybe civil war, those kinds of things. I generally think that's overheated. We're probably, but if you get to the place where Democrats say, well, we're just not going to show up for committee meetings, therefore you can't vote a nominee out of, well, this is going to happen. The reverse is going to happen when the Republicans are in the minority. Mm-hmm. You're going to have the complete shutdown of the government. And then at some point, you do have armed conflict. I mean, this is just the way democracies and republics crumble and die. This is historical, you know, fact.
But how long can this go on? I mean, is this in the books somewhere that as long as they don't show up, you can never vote?
Hey, by the way,
Apparently it is.
I would argue that the Democrats are disenfranchising the people who voted for them.
Yep.
Because they were sent to Washington by people who voted for them mm-hmm. to represent their political perspective, and they're not even showing up at the meetings to represent the people.
Yeah, but these people love it. The people who vote for Chuck Schumer, They want to see this. They want to see scorched earth tactics. I don't ever remember the Republicans boycotting committee meetings. Now, they may try procedures under the policy, you know, under the laws and regulations, you know, to slow down or to deny right. this. You know, that kind of thing goes on all the time. But to just simply not show up and say, well, I don't know that I've ever seen that. Maybe Sandy knows.
Right. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program on the American Family Radio Network. Ed Battagliano, Fred Jackson, Wesley Wildman filling in for his brother Walker. What have you been doing over there, Wesley?
You said that in a sense that there's a possibility I'm not doing anything. You're looking at me like, what are you doing?
You're playing Super Mario Brothers. I can see it from here.
No, honestly, I posted an article from Real Clear Politics from Stephen Miller about the immigration issue, as he's the spokesperson for Trump there, and his comments in his video. And then we have going up in just a few minutes, the Boy Scouts will, the discussion from One News Now about the Boy Scouts allowing girls to now be part of the Boy Scouts. Does that sound right?
No, it didn't.
Okay.
It sounded like a world turned upside down.
Right. From onenewsnow.com up on the Today's Issues Facebook page.
Right. Go to the Today's Issues Facebook page for the stories Wesley just talked about, or certainly you can go to onenewsnow.com, Todd Starnes. Commentary on the boy, well, I call him the Girly Scouts.
The Girly Scout. And if you want to see what Ed looks like, you can go to our Facebook page. We're streaming live right now.
Right.
Flexing muscles.
If you haven't heard, the Boy Scouts of America announced that they would allow girls into their organization. So
transgender girls.
Wait, now well, you're throwing a wrench into the...
No.
You have not?
You can't be a girl and join the Boy Scouts, any girl. You have to be a transgender girl.
Okay. Now, so. Clarification.
Okay, I'm not meaning to argue with you, Ed. Let me repeat what I just said, and then you tell me where I'm wrong.
Okay.
To borrow from Bill O'Reilly.
Right.
The Boy Scouts of America are allowing girls to be part of their organization.
Yes. The reason it's wrong... Yeah, now you got me on the spot here telling the president's wrong.
You can tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, because you can't just be any girl and say I want to join. Is all I'm just saying. It may seem like a technicality, but
self-identify.
You have to self-identify as a boy.
I'm going to repeat what I said one more time, and then we won't argue with each other. You and I have to get along. We work together,
right?
But
we don't
I'm going to
work together. I work for you.
I'm going to repeat what I said one more time. And so far to me, I get what you're saying, but you're unconvincing. I'm going to repeat what I said again. The Boy Scouts of America are now allowing girls to be a part of their organization.
Yes, and I'm simply clarifying, not all girls, just transgender girls.
The girls who claim to be boys are now allowed to be Boy Scouts.
Yes.
The girls?
But girls who don't claim to be boys, I know this is very confusing, folks. Girls who don't claim to be boys have to go to the Girl Scouts, where for a number of years, boys who claim to be girls can join the Girl Scouts.
And the next headline is Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts joining.
You know what? I think we'll see the steady decline of the Boy Scouts of America.
Oh, yeah.
They are not your grandfather's Boy Scouts anymore. The politically correct crowd have gotten control of them, and so I think they'll bleed to death. And you know, 10 years from now, we'll probably be going, there's not a Boy Scouts of America to speak of any longer.
How sad that is. How sad! What a great history the Boy Scouts have had, and the honor in wearing those badges and working for them.
Well, my dad was an Eagle Scout.
Eagle Scout, yes.
The founder of this ministry was an Eagle Scout back in the 50s.
But it shows, and I don't want to overstretch this, but it going to our own country and our constitutional republic, you have to continue doing the things that made something work. If you want it to keep working.
Yeah.
So the Boy Scouts failed to do that. We have, over the last 15, 20 years, begun the process of not doing that anymore. You say even longer. So the Boy Scouts may decay and erode. Will the United States, as a constitutional republic, decay and erode and go away?
God forbid. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on AFR. Sandy Rios in the morning. is heard on AFR from 7:05 to 8 o'clock Central Time each weekday morning. Sandy also serves as Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. For the federal government in Washington, D.C., she represents us there on issues and meetings. And Sandy, good morning.
Good morning.
Is it Sandy?
I'm really bummed out because I thought maybe I could join the Boy Scouts, but now Ed has now explained to me that I cannot.
No, Sandy. You can, but there's a very specific public statement you have to make.
I'm not a girl anymore. I know that's the real reason. Well, now the Boy Scouts has become the Girl Scouts. But, you know, I am going to be talking with Paul Kinger, who's a professor at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. He's a professor of political science. He's a great writer. I'm sure you guys have read his stuff. And we were just talking about, in cultural Marxism, the goal is to break up gender and social and sexual norms. And it always has been, because the goal is to break up anything that people depend on, anything that seems normal or regular, in order that government may become everything to people because there's nothing else to cling to. And so I think, you know, even though certainly the guys who had the Boy Scouts don't know this, and a lot of people involved in this movement don't understand this, but really at the very bottom of it is a push toward any kind of just ripping up anything that people might lean on, any common understanding, whether it's the story of Jesus, or it's who you are sexually, or if it's marriage and family, whatever keeps you sort of sorted out, they want to deconstruct. You guys might remember that the Weather Underground, which was Bill Ayer's organization, and Bernadine Dorn, Bill, the terrorist, who he and his wife were responsible for deaths and bombings, and they are still, now they're in the university system. Bill, University of Illinois, Circle Campus in Chicago, Bernadine, law professor at Northwestern. One of the things that the Weather Underground practiced, and they were part of the Students for Democratic Society, connected with communist organizations. Sorry, that's a long explanation. But one of the things they practiced was called smash monogamy, because they didn't believe that sex should be confined to one man and one woman, and not even in marriage, but even just that it should always be group. So at any time there was a sexual activity, it had to be the whole group, and they called it smash monogamy. I'm just telling you one manifestation of Marxism, cultural Marxism. Mm-hmm. So this is really what we're up against.
I would like to know how these secular progressive people got in charge of the Boy Scouts of America. That's amazing to me, because that's, you know, how they took it over to come to the point where the Boy Scouts says girls can be in our organization as long as, as Ed says, as a caveat is a girl has to say they're a boy, and then we're good with it.
Well,
how did they get in control of these institutions?
Well,
like
it was
this?
It was a strategy, Tim. In the '60s, when there were all the, you know, make love not war, the anti-nuclear protests, the flower children, the hippie drug movement, there were a lot of kids who were just rebellious. And they were part of something, but there was a segment of them that were hardcore leftists. Bernadine Dorn, Bill Ayers would be two of those, and there were a lot of other. Tom, Jane Fonda's first husband, there were David Horowitz, a friend of ours now. They were stirring up. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were using the cluelessness of the youth of kids then, and leading them down this cultural Marxism path. They didn't succeed in the '60s. They hit a dead end. The government really did switch. The pendulum swung. But what these hard lefters did was that they went not only into academia. You know that. You know they went into the academia and they rewrote textbooks. And that's the reason our schools are in such horrible shape and why our colleges and universities are. But that's not all they did. They also targeted the professional organizations of every single, like the American Medical Association, the one for psychologists,
American Psychiatric, and the American Psychological
Exactly.
Societies.
AARP. AARP, all kind, you know, if you trace it, you can see that they took over the professional organizations, and the members were clueless.
Also, they took over the mainstream media.
Yes.
They took over the academic institutions. They took over the entertainment. They took over the entertainment industry, and they took over the mainline Protestant denomination.
Took over their seminaries. Took over law schools.
It took a little time for that to filter down.
It's a principle. It's a principle of Scripture, and therefore it's a principle of reality. Because that's what God tells us in Scripture, is how the world He created works. When Jesus said to His disciples, be on the alert, be sober and on the alert, watch out for false teachers. The mainline denominations are disappearing because they abandoned the gospel, and they abandoned the gospel because they failed to heed the warnings of Jesus. You better stay sober and alert because, you know, little leaven leavens the whole group. And what happened to our seminaries and law schools is people weren't paying attention. They weren't staying alert. And once these radicals got in, guess who they hired? They hired other radicals.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the way it works when you're of a mindset that you want to make great changes, you hire like-minded people while the original people aren't paying attention.
Mm. Right, and you add to that that you're working busily in public schools, starting from the ground up, to brainwash kids to a certain way of thinking, to mold their thinking. And now we have, I think, at least two generations. I think with the kids now and their parents really are pretty clueless on what's actually going on here.
Well, also, our history, our heritage, and our constitution, our way of life, I mean, all these things are have been under assault. And you may find, you do have the activists who are trying to bring down our country, as you've referenced, Sandy, and then you have the mushy middle out there who are ignorant. They're ignorant of the
they're
things.
Just going to watch the Super Bowl Sunday.
Right,
they're going to go to their job.
You ask them what the Second Amendment is, First right. Amendment, why it's important. They don't know.
How many amendments are there? You know, what's the bill of how many in the right. Bill of Rights? They're just like you said, clueless.
It goes back to what Sandy was saying, and you were saying too, Ed, about our education system. Our kids aren't being taught that anymore.
Right.
I mean, that's the bottom line in all of this. And you know, that's what we are seeing today. And that, so when you add all this together, you got academia. Just think about the environment our kids are growing up in. You got academia, which is very anti-Christian for the most part. Yes, there are good Christian teachers in our public school system, et cetera, et cetera. You've got the media on top of this. Then you've got liberal seminaries. You put all of that together, and there you've got this culture of rebellion against God's word.
Right. Let me just say this. Politically speaking, and this is not the answer to everything, obviously. But politically speaking, I think the election of Donald Trump to be president was a last-ditch effort to push back on all this stuff. As I said, that's, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I think, and had President Trump not won, as he's not perfect by any means, and he doesn't necessarily have a biblical worldview, I think he has a basic conservative worldview that he's working through, and I think we need to pray for him as he continues to implement the ideas he ran on. But I will. Had Hillary Clinton won, I think it wouldn't have been long till we saw the end of America altogether as we've known it, because she was for globalism and open borders and radical leftists on the Supreme Court. I mean, it all would have been hard to redeem. Go ahead, Fred.
And to your point, Tim, this is why we're seeing the reaction from the left to the election of Donald Trump and what he wants to do. I mean, Betsy DeVos, his nominee for education secretary, we haven't talked a lot about this. She is under tremendous fire because, believe it or not, she says, I believe in charter schools.
Yeah.
I believe in homeschooling. And we talked about the education system being kind of the birthing place of this left-wing ideology. And they're saying, no, we don't want that. We want to keep our kids in that left environment. We don't want them to have an alternative. That's what's behind all of this opposition to charter schools and vouchers.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Eva Tagliano, Wesley Wildman, and Fred Jackson. Sandy, thanks so much for being on with us. Who do you got on in the morning on your show?
J. Christian Adams, because the president, of course, is announcing his nominee for the Supreme Court tonight on, you know, television. What I'm saying, primetime television. So that'll be a big topic. And then Christian's also going to talk to me about the rebellion of the assistant attorney general. Yeah, just in the last 24 hours. I'm sure you guys have talked about that, right?
Yes. The assistant attorney general.
Yeah, exactly. And how she was duly fired. Of course, Christian is a whistleblower out of the Justice Department, knows a lot about it, and is lobbying, well, in his own way, that justice must be wiped clean somehow in the Justice Department.
Now, do you care to make a prediction on who President Trump will announce tonight or not?
Yeah, I will, because I actually have a I don't have any inside knowledge on this, Tim. I just have a feeling. I think it's going to be.
Well, that's what the world's about now, Sandy. Anyway. We want to know, how do you
feel
about?
I feel like
it's
going to be a Boy Scout. No, I don't.
Go ahead.
I feel. I think it's going to be Neil Gorsuch.
Okay. Gorsuch.
Gorsuch. Gorsuch.
Yes, yes. He's the federal judge from Colorado.
Yes.
Yep, I think so, because William Pryor kind of got knocked out. There was a lot of, from the right and the left, there were concerns about him. I don't think he'll be the pick. I would be shocked if he were. And the other judge, whose name escapes me, is
Hardiman?
Hardiman serves in a court with Donald Trump's sister. He is he's the most moderate of the three.
Okay. So you're pulling for...
I'm just saying that I think Gorsuch will be the nominee.
Okay.
How did Pryor and Hardiman get on this list from the Federalist Society if they're just moderates? I thought that was supposed to be like, you know, the
Gold Star standard
rock ribbed conservatives.
Well, Pryor's very pro-life.
Okay.
Where he got in trouble on the conservative side were some of the rulings with regards to homosexuality.
Transgender.
And religious freedom.
Yes.
But, I don't know. They would not describe Pryor, you would probably say he's moderate. The powers that be here would not describe him that way. They would say he's hard right. And the reason he's going to be have trouble getting confirmed are his statements about Roe versus Wade and what a horrible decision it was. But the truth is that behind the scenes there are concerns about his two cases that he joined in.
Yeah,
that's right. Mm-hmm. But Gorsuch has a really good record on religious freedom and also on life. He's written a long piece on the sanctity of life from birth to death to death. And so I think. There are, you know what? You asked me how they got on the list, and
that's a long story.
I think I'll plead the fifth.
Okay, all right.
But that does deserve an answer, but it's a long story, a longer story than we have time for, right here. Yeah. It would require a lot of explanations.
But I think it'll be Neil Gorsuch. That's who I think.
Right.
I mean, but again, because Trump made a statement to. A news service yesterday that evangelicals would love his pick.
Yeah.
So I don't think he would say that about his sister.
This is what I love about Trump. He doesn't know any better than to say stuff like that. You know, huh? Who says evangelicals are going to love my pick for Supreme Court? I mean, who says that kind of stuff?
Even Republicans, a lot of Republicans don't want to be seen with us.
Like, they start freaking out. Like, you're going to have to use code language. You can't say that.
Yeah.
You can't say you're going to select a pro-life Supreme Court justice. Don't you know any better?
Well,
and
Donald Trump
says it anyway.
He's not a politician, and that's what we got.
Right.
So,
all right. Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You guys, talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you,
bye-bye.
Sandy.
Sandy Rios right there. Speaking of Donald Trump.
Have we?
He got up this morning at 5:27 a.m. and tweeted. He tweeted. This was his – let's see. Hold on a second. No. Excuse me. Back up 6 minutes. At 5:21 a.m., Donald Trump, the President of the United States, tweeted this. Nancy Pelosi and fake tears Chuck Schumer held a rally at the steps of the Supreme Court, and the mic didn't work. and he puts in parentheses, a mess, just like the Dem Party. That was a good morning devotional.
Did anybody see the video of this rally?
No, what was this rally from?
Well, this was a rally against the immigration.
Oh, okay. On the Supreme Court steps?
Nancy
Pelosi and Donald Trump called him fake tears, Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi's up there, and she discovers the mic is not working. And so then she starts saying, look at the beautiful moon.
This was at night?
While they're trying to fix the microphone, look at the beautiful moon. And then she started singing a song.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
You got to send me that. I got to.
That sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit.
What is that song? It's well known. It just slips my mind.
But Blue Moon?
Moon River. It's not Blue Moon. No, it's Let's All Get Together. A Kumbaya song. All right. But she starts out when she finds out the rock job. Look at the beautiful moon tonight.
What is her? Does she have a good voice? Does she have a good singing voice?
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
What a question, Ed.
Well, no, the reason here, I'm just saying, I'm thinking this is something I might want as a ringtone.
Oh my word. You can't make this stuff up.
So Nancy Pelosi, again, President Donald Trump tweeted at 5:21 this morning.
Oh, this land is your land. This land is my land.
Oh,
that's what they started singing.
If we don't fix our borders, it won't be.
Yeah,
right.
Second verse.
So after President Trump said, quote, Nancy Pelosi and fake tears Chuck Schumer held a rally at the steps of the Supreme Court and the mic didn't work, a mess, he writes in parentheses, just like the Dem Party, exclamation point. Good morning, everybody. This is your moment of encouragement from your president. Then at 5:27 a.m., I guess after the sausage and biscuit, President Trump decided to tweet this morning. When will the Democrats give us our attorney general and the rest of the cabinet? Exclamation point. They should be ashamed of themselves. No wonder D.C. doesn't work.
He's exactly right.
Donald Trump, the president, chiding, mocking the Democrats to finish up with their votes on his cabinet. And also, did you see, he said, President Trump, they had a shot. He was at the White House yesterday, and they had a camera on. He was talking about Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader. And I was, do you have that quote, Brent, by chance, when he's commenting? Maybe we can find that. But it's President Trump, and he's saying, you know, Chuck, after the immigration policy was announced, immigration edict or executive order was announced.
I think he has it.
Play it.
I noticed Chuck Schumer yesterday with fake tears. I'm going to ask him who is his acting coach, because I know him very well. I don't see him as a crier. If he is, he's a different man. There's about a 5% chance that it was real, but I think there were fake tears.
That was President Trump, and he's talking about Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader. Both of them are New Yorkers, and they've known each other a long time. So Trump's saying, I know Chuck Schumer, and he does not cry. And
it's like knowing a hockey player. I think I said this yesterday. This hockey player is, you know, rough and tumble, and then for some event, he cries. And you're going, come on, wait a second.
Yeah.
It's an acting game.
Yeah, Chuck Schumer did not cry when President Obama forbade Iraqis from coming to America for 6 months. He had nothing to say about that. So, fake tears.
And he's going to be fake tears Schumer from now till doomsday.
I know. All right, we will be back after this break for news. News and information straight ahead. Go to our Facebook page for today's issues. Also visit our news site, onenewsnow.com. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.